Good morning, everybody. Turn over to John chapter 3 this morning. We'll continue our journey through the book of John. We've been in it 5 months, I believe, now, two chapters through. So we'll be in it a minute, but it's been good to go through John. Before we get into that, I just want to talk a little bit about Badlands, give a little recap of it. Again, we had a good turnout this year. Had some really good fellowship and really good guys speaking. And it's just one of those times of year that we always look forward to, and we start planning months in advance, right? And it flies by so fast once it gets here. But those connections that you make, and the people that you're around, and the fellowship that you can have, it's super encouraging to push you through. Further on in not only your walk, but just the encouragement that you get from them to continue to fight the battle that we fight. It's just super encouraging that to know that it's not just the small congregation that's doing all the work, that there's congregations from around, and there's people all around this world that are fighting and doing the work just as we are. Sometimes we can get in that mindset that, a little bit of we're the only ones, and then as God said, there's 7,000 others that are there, and we know that there's much more than that. But it's super encouraging to have that. It's encouraging to have the Millers here this morning, a family from Missoula. It's good to see them a couple times a year, and it's really, really nice to have them. In fact, actually, Badlands is really kind of a camp that allowed us to really get to know the Millers. I think some of the kids, we got to know them a little bit, and we met Mark a time or two before, and he came by. But when we really started to get to know the family and the kids and stuff, it happened at Badlands. So there's a lot of stuff in those camps that have long-lasting friendships, and I really appreciate them being here. So we had our theme this year was the roles. It was out of Ephesians chapter 4, and there were some messages there that were really tough for some of the guys to preach. Some that guys, there's some messages that the guy has to preach sometimes that you really don't love the idea of preaching it, and there's some guys that really stepped to the plate and did a really good job. So those will be on the website. I don't know if they're all on yet, but he was working on them this week, putting some on there. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to some of them, I encourage you to go back and listen. So anyway, John chapter 3 this morning, and we'll just start in the first verse, and we'll read a little bit to get us started. Starting verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born, can he?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for the chance we have to be here this morning, Lord, to assemble as saints and to just be together, Lord. I thank you for the encouragement that I can receive from the brethren, Lord. Lord, I pray that our time together is encouraging to all. I pray that we're glorifying to you, Lord, and that Lord, we take this time to look into your word, Lord. I pray that we come to it with open hearts and open minds to be mindful of you, the truth that is in it, Lord, and the will that you have for us. Lord, I thank you for the spirit that you have given us, that indwells us, Lord, that helps us as we go through these scriptures, that helps us as we go through this life, Lord. I thank you for just the plan that you have for us. I thank you for your son, and we pray these things in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. So it's kind of interesting here. Nicodemus was a high-ranking Jew, and he came to Jesus. And interesting, there's lots of interesting stuff about this story, and we're gonna When I was in college, we used to have to build lesson plans, and it was like you had your three objectives, and you had to have this and all these different rules. And well, I've got like 9 points I want to make today, and it's going to be briefly on all of them, and we'll see if we get through them, if we don't get through them. But I've learned that the longer that I've done a bit of preaching, sometimes the rules don't matter quite as much, and you can get bogged down in those too. But one thing that is interesting to me is that Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he wanted to ask him some questions. And there's two parts of Nicodemus, I've always liked this passage, and I've always liked the story of Nicodemus, because he was humble enough, in my opinion. That's how I take this passage. And some people say he came in the night, and he did, and was, you know, kind of out of fear and stuff, which maybe is all true. But I see the humble side of Nicodemus coming in and talking to Jesus, and actually really wanting to come and talk to him. Because there was times when the Sadducees or the rulers or the elders, whatever it was, would come to Jesus, and they would come to question him and to test him. And he would notice their malice, and he would answer with different questions. He wouldn't even give them the time of day sometimes, because he would rebuke them for how they were. But Nicodemus, when he comes to him, it's interesting because Jesus sits down and has a conversation with him. And sometimes, you know, we think of guys that are, especially a guy like Jesus that was going around and he was drawing these big crowds. And in some ways, we look at him as kind of being a celebrity, right? And I don't know that that's probably exactly how he was, but there was a lot of people that wanted to know about Jesus. I mean, he drew some major crowds, and people wanted to be around him. And so sometimes you don't really see outside of him and his closest friends there, the apostles, him being one-on-one with a lot of people. And we see it a few times, but this is an example that Jesus was one of those guys that could speak to thousands of people, and he could have an influence on so many people, but at the same time, he was extremely approachable. And I think that is something that sometimes in our society, we see the famous people and stuff, and they're not approachable by the little guy, right? But see, Jesus is the king that can conquer anything, but is approachable by even the smallest in the kingdom. Even the smallest person, even the children came to him, and he was accepting of them coming to him. The disciples tried to push him away, and they rebuked him, and that's found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 and 14. He says, "Let them come to me. Leave them be." See, Jesus was extremely approachable. And sometimes we have a little bit of trouble doing both sides of it, right? Sometimes when a person is in charge, and sometimes when a person is doing a lot of the stuff, you know, drawing the crowds and you know, maybe even not drawing the crowds, but sometimes we can maybe get a little more important than we ought to be. And sometimes we need to remember that Jesus took time for anybody that wanted to come to Jesus. And I think that's something that we need to do too. I think that we have good examples of that. Guys like Mark Miller, I really appreciate Mark. Mark does a lot of speaking at a lot of different stuff, but Mark is extremely approachable. You can go and you can talk to him and you ask him questions. Mike Ferguson's another guy. very much anybody can go talk to Mike. There's a lot of different guys like that. And I really appreciate those guys in the church, because we need those guys in the church. I've had conversations with people about guys who've maybe done a lot of preaching in the past or different things like that, and I'm not going to dog anybody down, but I've had conversations with certain guys that are maybe in those roles now that are really good with people that have said, you know, I'm like the way I am because when I was younger, I decided I'm not going to be like that person. And sometimes our examples that we are given to either we want to be like them or we don't want to be like them. I think my grandpa used to say all the time, if I remember correctly, you're always an example, whether you're an example of what to be or what not to be. And I think that's something that we need to remember ourselves. And it's not just on a scale of guys, you know, like, it wasn't just Jesus that when he was going out and speaking to lots of crowds and being that big guy that also was approachable. You know, even the people who aren't doing that need to be approachable. We need to be people. As Dad always talks about, we're in the people business. And we need to understand people and be around people. And we need to be approachable to people. There's nothing, the old saying, and Kirk, I think, mentioned it in his sermon, They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That is extremely true. But also, like, we can hammer people with passages and scriptures all day long, but if we don't actually have a relationship with them, then what? Why are they going to listen to us? Why are they going to care? And I know that sometimes, you know, we only get one shot with certain people, and sometimes we have to go out and we have to tell them what we're about and tell them what you have to give them kind of what we can in the short amount of time we have. But other times, you know, we have to play the long game. It's not that I need to help this person become a Christian tomorrow. It's that I need to help this person become a Christian. And whether that's tomorrow, whether that's a year from now, or whether that's 10 years from now, you know, it's in God's timing. I've talked before about a friend of mine. Kirk and I studied with this particular friend when we were like 17, 18, I believe. And study didn't end all that well. Later on, Jane and I got a study with him and his wife. And that study maybe didn't end that well, but it ended quite a little better than the one before. And then Jane and Lee and I, believe, studied with a group of women, and his wife was in that study. And that one maybe didn't end how they exactly wanted it to. But I've noticed over the course of the last 13 years that things have gotten much closer, and the studies have ended much better. And not necessarily where I want them to end, but I've also had to remind myself that, hey, maybe he's just not ready yet. But maybe he's going to be ready in year 15. Maybe he's going to be ready in year 19. I don't know when it's going to be, but we can't give up on people yet. But sometimes it's a long game. Sometimes it's the relationships that you build with people and the approachable attitude that we have that can lead people to Christ much more than what we know from the Scriptures. Now, I'm not going to discount knowing the Scriptures, because we have to know the Scriptures, and we have to go through, and we have to have it based off truth. But a lot of it starts with relationship. I'm reminded even more of that after Badlands this week. verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, that word for again is a mistranslation. That word should be translated from above. And if you look in the word born, it's actually in the original Greek. You can look through the word born and how that's translated in the word again and how that's mistranslated. Born is a correct translation, but the meaning of the English words and the meaning of Greek words can be different, even if they're the closest translation. And so if we actually were to really read how Nicodemus would have heard that, it would be something to the effect of born of the Father from above. And so when you think about that a little bit, and born again is I do believe is a scriptural term. I think there's another couple of spots where that is there. But this particular spot, that word is born from above. And if we take that idea of being born from above, we can understand Nicodemus' question different. And so Nicodemus was not an unintelligent man. And when he asked the question in verse 4, it says, "How can a man be born when he is old?" He's not, and then he says he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? He doesn't actually believe that's what Jesus is saying, I don't believe. I think he's just questioning, well, what is this like? What does this look like? How does this happen? But if we look at that word born from above, and we look at some other spots that word is used, turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17, says, "Every good thing bestowed on every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." That word for above there, and gift from above, is the same Greek word. Turn over to chapter 3 of James, and we see it again in verse 15. It says, "The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Now, that word from above there, same Greek word, it can also has a meaning from the beginning. And so it's same type of idea. We do know that Jesus and they created this thing that we live upon. They created everything. So from above that existed in the beginning, it makes sense that it's not us being born again or born differently in a different fashion physically, or even being a member of a church or whatever that is, but it's truly being born from above, that spiritual birth that we receive and that newness of life that we receive, being born again, being born from above in Christ. Turn back to, let's go back to John real quick, John chapter 3. Verse 4, it says, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So, this is a verse that we, I believe that most of us understand here, and we talk about the water and the Spirit, and we talk about the Holy Spirit here, and how he indwells us, and we talk about the water, and we talk about immersion. I think there's a picture here. But turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through immersion into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." See, we don't become little children again physically, but we do become little children, we become babies again spiritually. And we start over in that sense that we die to our old self and we walk in a newness of life. And it's not something that's super crazy and everything's totally different about us physically. But spiritually, it's got to start. There has to be some change somewhere spiritually. We have to be a different person than we were before. And that doesn't mean that we're fully mature right away. It means that we're on a path that we are going to be, though. And we have to be diligent in living that way in order to get off of the milk and to get onto solid foods. But in that sense, in that time, we are a newness of life. We are born of the Spirit. We are born from above to be something different. You see, it's not our physical body that changes. It's our spiritual body that changes. Our spiritual new birth. As we read about in, we actually turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, familiar verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now let's start in verse 16. It says, Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. There has to be a difference. There has to be a change. We have to be new. We can't be the same old self again. We can't continue in that. That part has been killed. That part has been put to death. And now we are born from above, spiritually, in that family. And actually, if you really look into the Greek deeper, there's actually a root part of that. That means to be, how is it, from of the Father, that Greek word for born, of the Father to begot. Now, that goes back to remembering when Jesus is the only begotten Son in John 3. But we have to remember that we are brought into that family. It's not that you know, God is kind of our friend and we get to go over to this house every once in a while. No, when we are born from above, when we are born spiritually in him, we are part of his family. And we have to act like it. And sometimes we get to thinking that there's some separation there, and that maybe we don't, that God doesn't hear us, or that we don't really know who God is, or that God doesn't really care about us. But I'm going to tell you right now, God cares about each and every one of you. God took time, Jesus on earth, God incarnate, took time, because he had a busy schedule, to talk to Nicodemus. He took time to have the little children come to him. He took time to talk to the woman at the well. He took time to go to Zacchaeus' house. He took time for the little people, because that's who he came for. But really, those people were big people. Those people were part of the kingdom. Or eventually were. We can't stay on little food. We have to understand that we are born from above, we are born spiritually, and then we grow. Just like a kid can't become, when they're born, can't stay the same. Now, most of you have seen Kylan quite a bit recently, but it's been a few minutes since the Millers saw Kylan. I think it was October we were at your guys' house. He's changed a fair bit since you guys last saw him. He's changed a fair bit since I saw him yesterday, I think. But children have to grow. And that kind of leads me back into the Badlands and the theme that we had there. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as elders, as shepherds and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking of the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted together, fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I remember who it was this week that read this passage, but they loved and honed in on the part that says, grow up. Because sometimes we tell our kids, grow up. And sometimes in Christ, we need to grow up. And sometimes we need to stop worrying about all the drama things and the other stuff that weighs people down, and the he said, she said, and the this is what that guy believes, this is what that guy believes and stuff, and instead growing up in our own belief and helping those grow up in their belief. It's time to grow up. We can't be babies anymore. We have to get on solid food. We are given the newness of life in order that we could grow. Because I'm going to tell you right now, before that newness of life, there's a peak. There's a ceiling that we hit that we can't go any further. But with the newness of life, we can go far beyond what we ever thought we could. And it's not because of us, but it's because of God. It's because of what he has done for us, and it's him living on the side of us, and the spiritual birth that we have, that we can go beyond what we thought we could. Philippians chapter 4, this is kind of an aftermarket thought here, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we're going to fix this verse a little bit, I think. Everybody kind of knows it. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's a terrible translation. This is the Kyle translation, if you will. Take it and throw it out however you want. But basically, from my understanding from the Greek, it says, I have it up. Now I'm going to misquote it, so I better pull it up. For all things I have strength in the one strengthening me. Now, if we look at it that way, I look at it totally different when I read it like that. Because what it's talking about is we have strength, but not in ourselves, but what We have strength in who is strengthening us. We have strength in who is helping us. We have strength in Christ Jesus and that Spirit of His that is living inside of us, that is making us that new person. And I think Kirk's going to talk about sanctification quite a bit today. And we are being set apart. We are part of that new family. We are no longer part of the physical family. And we talked quite a bit with different people this weekend. And Kirk and I visited about the difference in physical family and spiritual family. And sometimes physical family is, obviously I have a lot of physical family here, which I'm super thankful for, that they're part of the church. But I also have a physical family that is pretty hostile towards it. And, when it comes to it, basically we're not family. Because my family is the family of God, the family that is born again, born from above spiritually, born from above in the Spirit, in the water, in Christ. My family is the one that is working together to fulfill His will. My family is the one that is encouraging each other. My family is the one who is working towards that goal, that crown of salvation, that crown of righteousness. Turn back to John. Chapter 3. Verse 5, it says, "Truly, truly," Jesus answered, "truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, we've all been born of the flesh. We know what that's like. We've been there. We still fight with it all the time. We have to put it to death all the time. We have to remember it and leave it behind us. But being born of the Spirit gives us hope. It gives us freedom. It gives us freedom in Christ. Maybe not the physical freedoms that people talk about us having here in America, which are going down anyway. But we have freedom even when we're not free physically. Because we are born of the Spirit. Because we are born in Christ. I'm super, super thankful for God's plan for us. And I'm super thankful for the family that we get to be a part of. It's time to grow up. It's time we've been born. It's time to get off of milk. It is time to get on solid food. It is time to continue to do our part. It is time to get into battle with Him. Being fitted together in that spiritual house to further His kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for your Son. I thank You for the love that You have given us, Lord. I thank You so much for Your church. The encouragement, Lord, of each and every one of them to me. Lord, I thank You for the commitment that the church has to growing and working to further Your kingdom, Lord, and to make itself ready for You. Lord, I'm thankful for the plan that You have for us. I thank You for the chance that each and every one of us has had to be born in the Spirit, Lord, and from above with You. Lord, I just thank You for the chance we have to be a part of Your family. I thank You for Jesus, and we pray these things in His name. Amen.